You're listening to KNKX. About 40 teachers from around our area are studying up on civics this week. They're part of an institute put on by Seattle University and the federal court system in Western Washington. One of the people they heard from was Mary Beth Tinker. She was 13 years old when she and other students defied school administrators in Iowa and wore black armbands to school to protest the Vietnam War. They were suspended, and then they sued. The case went before the Supreme Court and resulted in a landmark 1969 decision on free speech in public schools. Mary Beth Tinker went on to a career as a pediatric trauma nurse and now travels the country talking about free speech rights for students. She spoke to KNKX All Things Considered host Ed Ronco about those rights and what happened 50 years ago.
In preparing for this interview, I pictured you at the age you were when all of this was happening, and then I pictured me at that age, too. I was a rule follower in school. What were you like as a student before all of this happened?
Yeah, I was a very shy child. I got good grades, and I was kind of a teacher's pet, and my dad was a preacher. I mean, come on. So I wasn't really the one to be a rabble-rouser at all, but I felt very strongly. My emotions were strong when I saw the news of the war, and I saw the burning huts and the children running from them and the soldiers on body bags and the body count by Walter Cronkite. It's really a story of journalism and the importance of the free press and the brave journalists who brought us the news. And it caused us to have a lot of emotions, us kids. And I always tell kids, feel your emotions. Don't just cover them over. That's one of the great qualities of young people.
There were consequences to your protest, to the resulting legal fight. I know there were death threats against your family. Somebody threatened to bomb your home. Did all of that make it hard for you to see the good in people?
We did have death threat. One death threat came to me over the telephone by a woman who, as I was walking out to go to school, after we went back to school when we couldn't wear our armbands, we wore all black clothes. And I like to tell kids, there's always a way to get your message across. So we wore all black clothes to school, and I was about to head out to school, and I got a phone call, and a woman said, "I'm going to kill you." And I was really shocked because we had been speaking up for peace at Christmas time. And here were people that wanted to kill us because of that. But see, we always compared what we did with kids in the civil rights movement. And four of them had been killed in 1963 in Birmingham. And there were others who had really sacrificed the Little Rock Nine, you know, and how they had been treated, and so many others. I mean, you have Medgar Evers, you have all these things that had been going on. So compared to that, a little phone call with a kind of crazy woman didn't seem too bad.
History makes the 1960s seem like a very angry time, and this feels like a very angry time for our society. Do you see those parallels?
It's a time when there is much going on. As one student described these times recently, mighty times, and I agree so much. We were raised in mighty times, and now students are being raised in mighty times again. There are many decisions to be made about what direction we want to go in a society, as a society, as a world, with the environment, inequality, racial injustice, all kinds of gender issues, housing. I was just reading that the homeless rate of teenagers in Washington State has doubled in the last 10 years. So there are so many issues that affect young people, and it is definitely mighty times for young people and for all of us.
We've heard a lot about student protests in recent years, most notably walkouts and other actions in response to gun violence, school shootings. What's the condition of student speech rights right now, as you see it?
I think the status of speech rights for students is good in some ways, but there's a sliding scale, because if you are low income, if you're a student of color, if you're Native American, then you don't have as many rights in your public schools. For example, you probably won't have journalism at all if you're in a low-income school. There are only 25% of high schools that have journalism. So you won't have a free press if you're low-income. You may have very strict uniform policies if you're low-income or a student of color. And so that's, I think, the main issue right now in the schools as far as freedom of speech is the inequality in how it's enforced and how students are able to express themselves.
You're here in Tacoma talking to teachers about teaching these concepts we're discussing today. What do you hope they come away with? What do you want them to know?
I want the teachers to know that what they're doing with youth is right. and it's very important. They're passing along the fundamentals of democracy. And yes, youth are the future, but they're also the present. And they can have a voice right here, today. And when they do, it's better for everyone because we need their contribution. I come to this work as a pediatric trauma nurse. And I've seen firsthand the way that young people don't have such a great status in our society, the way it's set up right now. About every 3 hours, a teenager or child is shot and killed by gun violence. So am I happy to meet the Marjory Stoneman Douglas students? Yes. And I'm so glad that the journalism students from Parkland came up to Iowa to help celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Tinker ruling. Am I glad to see that students are speaking up for no lead in the water or for clean air? I've taken care of so many kids with asthma. The basic issue that the teachers are learning about this week at the Institute is the same tool that people all through our history have used to promote their own interests. The Constitution, the First Amendment, the right to free speech, free press, the right to assemble, the right to have your own religious views, and the right to petition. Those are the tools that all groups in our history have used to advocate for themselves. And now youth are using those tools as well to advocate for their interests. And when they do, it's very powerful.
How do you see our future?
Our future is, how do I see our future? Well, I'm going to keep on keeping on, like Fannie Lou Hamer used to say. She was a real leader in the civil rights movement in Ruleville, Mississippi. And I know I'm going to encourage kids and teachers to do that as well. And I'm very excited to see the way that youth are getting involved, paying attention, and using their rights to speak up and make a better world.
Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mary Beth Tinker speaking with KNKX's Ed Ronco. As a teenager 50 years ago, she was at the center of a Supreme Court battle on the free speech rights of students. Her case is still used today to uphold free expression in public schools.